we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio program today. My name is Bob Arthurs. I'm excited to be here behind this microphone in the WMIE-FM 91.5 FM studios. It is going to be a phenomenal, phenomenal weekend, and I pray that you are looking forward to it. We're looking for next week to be a week that the enemy loses his grip over several people's issues in their lives, and that God will be glorified. This coming Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. Pray that you are making plans to be in the house of God. And if you do not have a church to worship in, we'd love to have you come and visit with us. 165 North Grove Street. Our services will begin at 10:30 of a morning. We're going to be having a Sunday night service Sunday night as well. So come out and join us. If you're in Central Brevard County, you can get to us. We're not that hard to find if you have GPS. So, no, with smart technologies, you can find just about any place on your phone right now. 165 North Grove Street. We're two blocks north of 520. We're two blocks west of Courtney Parkway. And so I pray that you are making plans to be in the house of God this weekend for the amazing things that God is doing. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is still alive? We want to say thank you today to the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, area code 321-632-9538. They are based here in Rockledge, Florida. They travel all throughout the county, and they can help you with your air conditioning needs. If you need your heater repaired right now, I hope it is not for right now. All you got to do is open up your windows pretty much, and if you're getting a little bit of a cool breeze right now, my vehicle doesn't have air conditioning in it. It's got an air conditioner in it. It just doesn't function. And the repair people have told me that even if they got it working, it wouldn't work very long. Just something about that particular vehicle's air conditioning system. So when I travel across the river and the windows are down, it's like, yes, thank the Lord for cool air. If you need help with your air conditioning or your heating or your electrical, call the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric, 321-632-9538. They can travel from the south end of the county to the north end of the county to from the beach to the inland borders there. They can go where you are, meet the need that you have, and get your home powered and cool, and you will be thankful for it. So let me tell you just about one incident that I had with the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric some time ago. We have some external security lights, and they go out from time to time. And so I had figured that one of them was a bulb, one of them was behaving as if it was a ballast, and I thought that I had the two problems diagnosed. I was pretty sure that fixture A was a ballast. I was pretty sure that fixture B was a bulb, and I was pretty sure that fixture C was a bad photocell. Well, I got C right, but the other two I flip-flopped. The one that I thought was a ballast was a bulb issue. The one that I thought was a bulb was a ballast issue. And the folks at Wyrick Air Heat and Electric were the ones that remedied those problems. And so they are really good at what they do. And I learned at that point in time, you don't want to tell the experts. You don't want to self-diagnose. You want to leave that to the people who really know what they are doing. So with that being said, I want to take you back into the Word of God today. We are looking at the Beatitudes. What if I told you at the beginning of today's program that there was one simple thing that you could do that would change your dynamic right now? It could change your condition, and you could go to anybody around you and you could say, I am blessed. That's what I'm going to tell you today. There is a scripture in the Beatitudes, and just by making one action, one change, you can go around and honestly declare that you are the blessed of the Lord. It is not rocket science. It's not complicated. It can be challenging, but it is something that every person on the planet can do. And that's what we're going to talk about today. Let's look into Matthew chapter 5, shall we? Verse number 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Love that. Verse number 7, blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you, and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So, the one thing that everybody can do is you can show mercy. The verse that we are looking at today is verse number 7, Matthew chapter 5, verse number 7. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. I believe that the first blessing that is available to men, women, boys, and girls is the blessing of repentance. I really do. And when we repent of our sin, God exhibits mercy to us. He bestows mercy. Where God's riches at Christ's expense, where grace is us getting something that we do not deserve, mercy is us not getting what we do deserve. And we are tremendous at receiving mercy. We realize that we need mercy. When we get caught and we've done something wrong, we are tremendously thankful whenever mercy is exhibited on our behalf. But there is a great challenge that comes when it's required of us to be dispensers of mercy. All of a sudden, we start singing a different tune and we can't quite get the right key and we can't quite get the right melody. Wait a minute, God, don't you know what they did to me? It hurt me. It caused me pain. It made my life unpleasant. It made it uncomfortable. And Jesus said, I want you to understand something, that when I have positioned you, when I have set you up for you to be a dispenser of mercy, it is for this reason, so that you can obtain even more mercy. It says here, for blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. This is a word that means to be compassionate in an active manner. It is not just a mental attitude. It is something that compels one to action. One of the favorite themes that I have in the scriptures is when Jesus was moved with compassion. You can find it several times. You can find it in Matthew chapter 9, verse 36. You can find it in Matthew chapter 14, verse number 14. You can find it in Matthew 18, 27. You can find it in Mark chapter 1, verse number 41. He was moved with compassion in Matthew chapter 9 and Matthew chapter 14 when he saw the multitudes and they were like sheep without a shepherd, and he ended up feeding thousands and thousands and thousands of people because he was moved to action. Did he have to feed them? No. Was it expected of the people when they came out that they were going to get food? No, they were just captivated by the ministry of Jesus. And they said, you know what? What we're receiving is more than mercy. And the disciples said, you know what? We need to send these people on their way because they're going to starve. And Jesus said, you give them something to eat. And he already knew what he was going to do. And he was moved with compassion. He was being moved with compassion is described in Matthew chapter 18, verse number 27, when a person is faced with an overwhelming debt. I don't know if you've ever been in that position before or not. Matthew chapter 18 is the parable of the man who owed a king 10,000 talents. 10,000 talents. A talent was 75 pounds. approximately 75 pounds, and he owed 10,000 of those. So he owed something like 750,000 pounds, I think, if my math is right. 750,000 pounds. I don't care whether that's silver. I don't care whether that's gold. That is a debt, a huge, huge amount of money. And he could not pay the debt. And he asked the king, he said, if you will have patience with me, I will pay you all. Then the master of that servant was moved with compassion, released him, and forgave the debt. We're always thankful when God is moved with compassion on our behalf. But that man then went out and found somebody who owed him just a paltry sum of money compared to what he himself owed. He owed him 100 denarii. And a denarius was a day's wages. So he owed him about a third of a year's wages, which is a small sum compared to the amount. And he took that man and did not show him mercy to the same degree that he had been shown, and actually had him thrown into a debtor's prison and until he could pay the debt. He did not act with the same mercy that had been shown on his behalf. We as Christians need to remember that because we have been a recipient of mercy, we are now qualified to be a dispenser of it. In fact, it is required of believers to be merciful and compassionate people. I have a joke that I say from time to time. It's not so much a funny joke as it is a sad statement, and that is the next time that person exhibits mercy will be the first time that they exhibit mercy. I don't know if you've ever been around people that mercy was just a foreign concept to them. But we are called, if we are the blessed of the Lord, if we will be dispensers of mercy, we will obtain mercy. Now, I love this because in Mark chapter 1, verse number 41, Jesus is never going to ask us to do something that he himself is not able and willing to do. In Mark chapter 1, 41, there is a leper that needed to be healed, that needed to be cleansed, and needed to be restored. And he came and cried out to Jesus for Jesus to have mercy on that situation. And Jesus was moved with compassion, and he cleansed the leper. How long has it been since you've been moved to action on behalf of another person in the body of Christ? I want you to know that when you are presented with those opportunities, it's a setup. When I'm presented with those opportunities, God is opening a door and he says, you know what? You're getting ready to experience a new degree of mercy from me, because you're getting ready to be a dispenser of mercy. God will never ask you to pour into someone else in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ out of your own reservoir. He will have you do that out of his living well, out of his rivers of living water. That's what he's going to provide the resources. And so whenever you dispense mercy, it's like it comes right back to you. There's even more mercy that is disposed or dispensed to you and to me. When we obtain mercy, that means that we are compassionate by word or deed, specifically by divine grace. This is not just being nice to someone because you have a nice personality. It's not being nice to someone just because you like them and you kind of want to help them. This is something that causes us, that mercy that we find is something that comes straight from the throne room of heaven. Too many times we are looking into ourselves to find what we can only find when we look to the throne room of God. We want to cry out for justice. I remember a missionary coming. He was kind of a younger guy, and he said, "What my generation, one of the key words for my generation is injustice. They're looking to remedy injustice. They're looking to see people's needs met so that they can operate on a more equitable scale." And there's another verse that I want to talk to you about concerning mercy in Matthew chapter 23. Matthew chapter 23 and verse number 23, it says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin, and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone, blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." We tend to major on minors and minor on majors. Jesus is saying, you all are so concerned about what takes place with the tithe of every little item. And he said, and you neglect the things that carry great weight in the kingdom of God. And what are those three things? I think when Jesus tells you that these three things are very important to heaven, that we need to take notice of those. And he says, the first of them is justice, and the second is mercy, and the third is faith. He said, you should have practiced these. That's what it says. These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. They were tithing, but they were acting in an unjust manner. They were giving to the Lord, but they weren't showing mercy to their brothers and sisters. And they certainly weren't operating in faith. Whenever I hear the word faith, I always think of it in this light. When the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Did you realize that's in the scripture? When the Son of Man comes, Jesus said it, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? That is a question that you and I can answer. That, and you can say, Lord, if you come in my lifetime, you're going to find faith on the earth. You're going to at least find it in one spot. I may not be able to be like Abraham and negotiate down to 10. I can negotiate down to 1, and I'm pretty sure you can find a few more where people are operating in faith. Jesus said you don't neglect the minor details, the secondary issues, until you have first dealt with the principal matters: justice, faith, mercy, hope, love. You got to take care of those. You got to deal with those. In Hosea chapter 6, hopefully I didn't cover up my page. Hosea chapter 6, I did. It's going to take me just a little bit longer to get there. Hosea chapter 6, there's an interesting verse, and it says in verse number 6, Hosea 6, 6, it's the very first of the minor prophets, right after Daniel. "For I desire," this is God speaking, "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings." So when we see that in Matthew 23:23, where it's talking about that people were focused on giving, but they weren't focused on mercy, Jesus says, I want to remind you about what Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6 says, and that is, God desires mercy even over sacrificial giving. And he wants people to know God. Okay? Now, every little boy in Israel was raised to understand the Old Testament. Every one of them understood that. Now, when Jesus begins to minister in Matthew chapter 9, it says in verse number 10, it says, "Now it happened, as Jesus sat at the table in the house, that behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and sat down with him and his disciples." Let me ask you a question. What would happen in your church if this coming Sunday God brought in a whole bunch of IRS agents and a whole bunch of professional sinners, and they came into the house of God and they weren't there on official business, they were there on spiritual business? Are our churches places where the saints are comfortable, but sinners are unwelcome? Because if so, there's a problem. There's a problem. We need to make sure that we're still in the redemption business. And in all honesty, America has been losing ground as far as touching more people's lives. Do we still touch individuals? Yes, we do. But there are more people being born than there are being saved. And so as a percentage in America, we are losing ground, and we are losing ground in young people. We are losing ground to people who should be on fire for God and doing great exploits for God. And that needs to change. So these tax collectors and sinners came, and they sat down with him and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard that, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. But go and learn what this means." And then he quotes Hosea chapter 6, verse number 6. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." So Jesus is confronted with these questions about how come he is hanging out with sinners. And he said, well, first of all, I'm here to heal the sick, and these people know that there's something wrong in their life, and so I'm coming to bring healing to them. But I have a prescription for you. You need to go back and look at the scriptures, and you need to learn what this means. Now, he didn't say that they couldn't quote it. There's a difference between being able to quote something and learn what the meaning of it is. Too many students learn how to pass the test without mastering the concept. And so Jesus gives them some homework, and he said, go and learn what this means. "I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." Wouldn't it be great if that was all there was to it? But when my teachers in school assigned us homework, that homework had to be turned in. And if you turn over to the right, just a few pages, over to Matthew chapter 12. Verse number 1, "At that time Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck heads of grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, they said to him, 'Look, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath.' But he said to them, 'Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him, how he entered the house of God and ate the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only for the priest? Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place there is one greater than the temple.'" Now listen to what he said. "But if you had known what this means, 'I desire mercy, not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the guiltless, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath." Jesus basically turned to him and said, if you had done your homework, if you had done what I had said, and you had gone and learned what this means, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice," you would not be condemning people. You would be showing them mercy. You would realize that the Son of Man is Lord. He could end it right there. But he goes on and he says, he is Lord even of the Sabbath. You see, the world has no shortage of people who are willing to point out the things that are wrong. Jesus is saying, look, you are fixated on things and you are harming people. That's not what we're supposed to be doing. Things are tools used to help people, minister to people, meet needs in people's lives. And I can tell you today that the church still needs to remember what it is like to be a recipient of mercy and a dispenser of mercy. Mercy is my primary gifting. Many of the pastors that I know, it is their primary gifting. It's not my only gifting. And so there comes a time when you have shown mercy and shown mercy and shown mercy, and people aren't responding, and you say, you know, it's time for exhortation to step in here. Sometimes the most merciful thing that you can do is let somebody else. I had a student in Texas when I was teaching in school, and I tried and I tried and I tried to get through to this student on this one particular concept, and I I just wasn't succeeding. So I tried other students. I tried other teachers. I tried the principal, all of them. It was just one lesson. And this student just wasn't getting it. But we never gave up. We never gave up. And one day the light bulb went on. She finally understood the concept. God had answered my prayer, given me a concept. And all of a sudden she went from not understanding to be a master of it was dealing with fractions is what it was. And all of a sudden she went to not understanding at all to having a complete mastery of the concept, all because people didn't give up on her. And like I say, Jesus is never going to ask us to do something that he is not willing to do. In Matthew chapter 9, there were a group of men that said, "Son of David, have mercy on us." And he did. In Matthew chapter 15, verse number 22, there was a Canaanite woman who said, "Lord, have mercy on my daughter." And he did. And she was healed. In Matthew chapter 17, and verse number 15. Verse number 14, "And when they had come to the multitude, a man came to him, kneeling down to him and saying, 'Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is an epileptic and suffers severely, for he often falls into the fire and often into the water. So I brought him to your disciples, but they could not cure him.' Then Jesus answered and said, 'O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I bear with you? Bring him here to me.' And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the child was cured that very hour." If you come crying to Jesus for mercy, you're going to find mercy. And when you do, don't walk away as an agent of condemnation. Walk away grateful. Walk away thankful. Walk away as a new franchisee of this wonderful product that all 7+ billion people on the planet need on a regular basis, the mercy of God. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Today, I told you at the beginning of the program, I have a blessing for you that everyone that listens to this program can have. And that is this: you can be the blessed of the Lord if you will just say, "You know what? I have received mercy from the Lord. I am going to show mercy. I've done more against God than anybody else has ever done to me, and he showed me mercy. I'm going to show them mercy." And God says, "You are a blessed individual. I've got way more mercy for you." We will see you Monday right here on Refresh. God bless you.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."
Sing to be a man for my King. Nothing, Lord, is hindering the passion.